Well, friends, this morning's message comes from Psalm 150. This is the inspired, therefore infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word of God, sufficient to make us wise unto salvation and equip us for good works. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbal. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, so this, dear friend, this morning we now come to the final session of our sermon series on the book of Psalms. After today, I believe I'm going back to Acts, but today we now come to the final session of our sermon series on this beautiful book. And I believe we are introduced to a perfect psalm to wrap up our sermon series, which is the very last Psalms of the Bible, Psalm 150. But now, before we jump into this morning's message, I want to first begin by asking you a question. If someone comes to you and asks, "Can you explain to me what Christian worship is?" how would you answer the question? In fact, if someone comes to you and asks, "Can you explain to me what makes the worship of Christianity unique and different compared to other religions in our world?" how would you answer the question? You see, worship is the fundamental and the most vital component of all religions. This is not something unique just to Christianity. You see, if anyone describes himself or herself as a religious man or religious woman, likelihood is that he or she is engaging in some sort of a worship service in his or her religion. I mean, Islam has its own worship service. Buddhism has its own worship service. Hinduism has its own worship service. In fact, even the primitive religion like animism, has their own worship service as well that involves its participant, that involves its believers. So if that is the case for all religion in this world, if worship is something that is not unique or different about Christianity, should we see the worship of Christianity just as another worship of another religion that exists in our world? Or is there something unique and different about Christian worship? Well, this morning, Psalm 150 answers this important question. You see, we are introduced this morning to a hallelujah psalm in the Bible, a psalm that commands all believers to praise the Lord. And as the psalmist gives this command to praise the Lord, he also explains to us who, how, why, and what we must worship in the Christian religion. So this morning, I want us to walk together through Psalm 150, and I want to invite you to examine with me the anatomy of Christian worship, the anatomy of Christian worship. And as usual, I'm going to examine today's text verse by verse, but unlike the way that I usually do it, I'm going to do something a little different today. That is, instead of moving from the beginning of the text to the end, I am going to move from the end of the text to the beginning. So from the verse 6 to verse 1. And I promise you, it will eventually make sense. So just bear with me. But having said that, in order to help you understand the big picture or big idea from Psalm 150, I want to first submit this proposition to you, this big idea from Psalm 150, today's text. So my dear friends, Psalm 150 teaches us that Christian worship is unique and different in that everyone is commanded to worship with everything, for every reason, at everywhere. I'll say it again. Psalm 150 teaches us that Christian worship is unique and different in that everyone is commanded to worship Yahweh with everything, for every reason, and everywhere. So then, how does Psalm 150 teach us this truth? I mean, how does this make Christian worship so unique and special? What makes Christian worship so unique and special? Well, according to Psalm 150, Christian worship is first and foremost unique in that it commands everyone to worship Yahweh. So let's jump into the first point of today's sermon, that is the command to worship Yahweh, the command to worship to everyone, the command to worship to everyone. As verse 6 declares, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So then, well, I want to pause you for a moment just to tell you a short story. So about 6 years ago, when I was still in college, I had to take a class called Islamic Culture, or Integration with Islamic Culture. I cannot exactly remember the name of the class, but the purpose of this class was to help students, especially those who wanted to go into ministry, to better understand the culture and the religion of Islam so that we can better reach out to them or share the gospel to them in a more effective manner. And part of the course required the whole class to go to a city called Dearborn in Michigan. How many of you heard of a Dearborn in Michigan? All right, okay. So let me tell you a little bit about Dearborn in Michigan. So Dearborn in Michigan is one of the largest cities in Michigan that has the largest Muslim population. In fact, when I was in Dearborn, it felt really weird because I didn't feel like I was in the US. I actually felt like I was in the Middle East. You know, they decorate everything according to Islamic culture. They actually, people wear, you know, Islamic clothes. You know, like you feel like you are not in the US when you're in Dearborn, you feel like you are in the Middle East. It was one of the strangest experiences that I had, you know, even though I grew up as a missionary kid. And part of the trip, this field trip, involved visiting the mosque, you know, that Islamic church or church for the Muslims. And this field, this required, and they asked us to, this class made us to sit in this mosque to see how Muslims worship Allah, you know, their God, Allah. And let me tell you, I felt very uncomfortable. You know, not only that I was sitting in a mosque listening to a sermon by this imam, you know, their pastor, but also because all of us, every single student in that mosque could evidently feel the strange looks that the other Muslims were giving us as we were sitting in their midst. You know, they didn't talk to us. They didn't approach us. They didn't really do anything to us, but you could evidently tell that people were thinking, those Muslims were thinking, what are these strangers doing in our mosque? You know, what are these unbelievers are doing here with us who are clearly not the Muslims? And I'm not an expert in Islam, but, you know, that's understandable because I do know that not all Muslims are keen to the idea of infidels or unbelievers, you know, joining their worship service. In fact, for us to go into this mosque and sit in their worship service, we had to ask permission from their pastor, from their imam, you know, to do that. And for the matter, there are many religions in our world that restricts their worship service exclusively to their believers, to their participants. You know, even though even some Hindu religion, they restrict their worship service only to Hindus. Like I said, some Muslims restrict their worship service only to Muslims. Not every single religion in our world invites other people to join the worship service and worship their God. But the scripture teaches us that this should not be the case for the worship of Christianity. In fact, Psalm 150 commands everything that has breath to praise Yahweh. It means that all birds in the heaven must praise Yahweh. It means that all animals in the ground must praise Yahweh. It means that all sea creatures on the ocean or in the deep ocean must praise Yahweh. And it means that all microorganisms that must praise Yahweh. And obviously, It means that all believers must praise Yahweh. And most importantly, it also means that all unbelievers must praise Yahweh, regardless of their affiliation to Christianity. The Bible tells us that let everything that has breath praise Yahweh. So why? Why must everything, and especially everyone, praise Yahweh? You know, even if they don't believe in Christianity, why must they do this? Well, the scripture explains to us that everything and everyone must praise Yahweh because the purpose of our existence, the purpose of man's existence is to praise Yahweh God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21 declares that people are formed to proclaim the praise of God. Isaiah 43, verse 7 declares that we are formed for God's glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 testifies that we must eat and drink, that is, do everything for God's glory. All men and all women, believers and unbelievers, are required to worship Yahweh because that is the purpose of our existence. So that's the first thing that our Psalm 150 teaches us about uniqueness of Christianity worship, Christian worship, that everyone is commanded to worship Yahweh God. But as you can see, Psalm 150 continues. And it also begins to teach us how people must worship Yahweh. And in today's text, our psalmist commands us to worship Yahweh with everything. So let's jump into the second point of today's sermon, that is command to worship with everything. The command to worship with everything. As verses 5-3 declares, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with sounding cymbal, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Well, so boys and girls, I have a question to ask you right now. Have you, boys and girls, heard of the word orchestra before? In fact, have you, boys and girls, ever sat in an orchestra performance before in your life? Yes, good. Well, so boys and girls, let me just tell you a little secret about me, all right? Pastor Sub, I know how to play cello. You know, I learned to play cello when I was 8 years old. And well, even though I haven't played cello for 6 years, I think I can pick it up pretty quickly if I just play a few times. And when I was about 9 years old, my mom made me to participate in this musical competition against other students. And as you can imagine, you know, I practice over and over again the song that my instructor have given to me so that I can win this competition. But let me tell you, every time I practiced this song, I felt like my song was just so plain, just so bland and simple that I didn't think anyone was going to appreciate it. Just one cello with song. Didn't feel like I had a chance. But what I didn't know back then was that when I participate in this competition, I would have the whole orchestra behind me playing with me. And let me tell you, when I played my cello with the whole orchestra, you know, my music sounded so much better than just playing solo. You know, violin added wonderful tunes to my music. Cymbals and drums added the majesty and suspense to my music. You know, trumpet added the majesty and its liveliness of my music. In a sense, my music became livelier and fuller when the whole orchestra joined with my cello. And I think it's fair for me to say that everybody enjoyed my music then. Well, in today's text then, our psalmist also tells us that we must praise Yahweh with everything. And he also lays out various instruments to praise Yahweh, such as a trumpet, lute, harp, tambourine, strings instrument, pipe, and cymbal. And not only with the instrument, The Bible tells us that we must also, today's text tells us that we must also praise Yahweh with dancing and know that with our whole faculties of body. So, just as how orchestra added life to my cello, today's text testifies to us that we must praise Yahweh with everything we have so that our music to God will be full of life and vigor and majesty, just as He is. So the Bible tells us today, He commands us to worship with everything. But having observed how Psalm 150 commands everyone to praise Yahweh with everything, I believe we have to ask this important question. That is, why? I mean, why should everyone praise Yahweh with everything? I mean, it makes sense that the psalmist would command the believers to do this, but how is it that the psalmist is also calling us to calling let everything that has breath praise the Lord? Is it simply because this is the purpose of our existence, or is there more reason behind it? So let's jump into the third point of today's sermon, command to worship for every reason. Command to worship for every reason. As our psalmist explains in verse 2, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So why does Psalm 150 command all people to worship with everything they have? Well, our psalmist explains that Yahweh is worthy of our praise, praised by all men through all means, because of His mighty deeds, because of His excellent greatness. But what kind of mighty deeds has the Lord done for everyone? I mean, what kind of excellent greatness should everyone living in this world recognize? Well, unfortunately, Psalm 150 doesn't really elaborate to us what the psalmist meant by His mighty deeds and excellent greatness. But we can certainly search the scripture to see what the Bible says about it, right? And first of all, the scripture testifies to us that the Lord exhibited His excellent greatness and mighty power by creating everything, by creating our world. The scripture testifies that He created the stars and planets in heaven, and the whole universe sings the praise to our God. Psalm 19, it declares the heaven proclaims the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night it reveals the knowledge. You see, He is worthy to be praised by everything that has breath, because He is the creator God. In fact, the scripture also urges us to recognize Yahweh's excellent greatness, not only in creating everything, but also in sustaining everything as the ultimate ruler of our world. Jeremiah chapter 31, it declares that it is our God who governs the season and weather and climate of our world. It declares that it is our Lord who governs the rotation of our solar system, the sun, moon, and all the planets in our universe, and holds them in their order. In fact, the book of Isaiah also declares to us that the kingdom and the government are upon the shoulder of our God. He establishes the government of our world, kingdom and ruler, so that our world will not be governed and will not destroy itself in disorder and justice. And likewise, it is our God who establishes the various institutions and organizations in our world, like schools and universe and corporation and institution, so that our world will reach its fullest potential. Everything that has breath must praise Yahweh, because Yahweh is God who does not stay far away from His creation, but who comes to them, who rules them with intimate care and intimate attention under His sovereignty. And to bring it closer to Him, The scripture testifies that Yahweh exhibits his mighty deeds by abundantly providing for the daily needs of believers and unbelievers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it testifies to us that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the just and also on the unjust. The scripture testifies to us that the Lord even provides for the beasts and the fowls of our world. Psalm 104, it testifies that the birds build their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badger. And young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. So to put it simply, my dear friends, all men must praise Yahweh because we have food and drinks on our table. If the Lord does not grant us his mercy of providence, all of us, we only have the scraps from the table. Regardless of your social position, regardless of your job, regardless of your success in your life. Everything that has breath in our world must praise Yahweh because of his mighty work of providence to all men, beasts, animals, and plants in our world. And the scripture also testifies to us that Yahweh exhibits his excellency and mighty work in leading and guiding every individual and woman in our world. The scripture testifies that unless the Lord builds the house, the workers build in vain. That unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman watches in vain. In other words, every project that you have accomplished in your job, every assignment that you have succeeded in your school, and every success you had in your life, they are all out of God's and Lord's gracious guidance and leading in your life. Are you having a successful career right now? Praise the Lord. Have you graduated from your school? Praise the Lord. Did you manage to persevere through ups and downs in your life and manage to plow through the difficulties and challenges that rose in your life? Praise the Lord, because it is the Lord who guided you and led you. So today's text tells us, praise the Lord who leads and guides every individual man and woman's life in our world. And certainly these are just a few examples of the Lord's mighty deeds and great excellence testified in the Bible. The Bible testifies that we must praise the Lord because he set the boundaries of the ocean and he set the core of our earth. The Bible tells us that we must praise the Lord because he heals the broken and binds those who are sick. The Bible tells us that we must praise the Lord because he is near to those who are downcast and he encourages those who are discouraged. The Bible testifies that we must praise the Lord for his unsearchable and unfathomable wisdom, rule, and plan for our world. But there is the most important reason why everyone must praise Yahweh with everything. And that is because Yahweh has done the mighty deeds of salvation in our world. And I want to show you this as we jump into the last point of today's sermon. That is the command to worship at everywhere. Command to worship at everywhere. As verse 1 of today's text commands us, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So in verse 1, as you can see, our psalmist reveals to us where everyone must worship Yahweh. And he tells us first that everything that has breath must worship Yahweh everywhere in our world. And our psalmist declared this as he commands us to praise him in his mighty heaven or in his mighty firmament or his mighty expanse. So when our psalmist says here to praise God in his mighty heaven, well, he's not talking about like heaven as a spiritual realm. No, he's talking about heaven as our sky. Heaven is our firmament. So he tells us that as long as we are in this universe, as long as we are living under our sky, that we must praise Yahweh wherever we are. But if that is not mind-blowing enough, our psalmist gives us an even more shocking command. That is, he commands us to praise Yahweh even in his sanctuary, in his holy of holies, in his holy place. So why is that shocking command for us to hear today? Well, this is a shocking command for the psalmist to give to everyone, because the sanctuary of the Lord, the holy of holy, was a place where not only unbelievers, but also believers were prohibited from entering in the tabernacle. So if you know your Bible, I'm sure you heard of the word holy of holy. Well, it was a place, it was a particular section in the tabernacle that was so sacred that even the high priest of Israel had to be very careful from entering so that he won't be killed by God's holiness. So if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, you'll be able to find how careful the high priest had to be when he entered into this holy place, holy of holies, in his sanctuary. So Leviticus chapter 16, verses 2 through 5. Here, God gives an instruction to the high priest. And God says, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at any time into the holy place, the holy of holies, inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way, Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have the linen undergarment on his body. And he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. So, as we can see in these verses, the Lord gives a very specific and careful instruction to the high priest as to how they should enter the holy of holies, the sanctuary in tabernacles, so that they won't die. But in today's text, our psalmist commands everything that has breath must praise Yahweh in his holy of holies. So how? How can our psalmist tell us to do this? Is it because our psalmist lacked safety awareness? Is it because our psalmist didn't care about the Levitical instruction? Why did our psalmist commence everything to praise Yahweh in his holy of holies? Well, our psalmist commanded us to praise Yahweh in his sanctuary, not because he lacked sense of safety, not because he did not care about Levitical instruction, but because he understood that the day will come when God's people will freely and boldly enter into the Holy of Holies to praise Yahweh. And just as our psalmist commands us to praise Yahweh in his Holy of Holies through the eyes of faith, the scripture testifies that all God's people can indeed do this because someone came into the world 2,000 years ago to give us this great privilege to worship God in his holy place. And as you can imagine, his name is Jesus Christ, our great mediator. You see, the scripture testifies to us that Jesus lived a perfect life with perfect obedience to God's law. And it testifies to us that Jesus died a perfect death upon the cross as our perfect sacrifice before God's wrath. And the scripture testifies that now Jesus is standing before God as our ultimate mediator to give us a right standing with him, to mediate for us before God. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, it declares to us, therefore, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have the great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So, must we praise Yahweh everywhere in our world? Absolutely. Praise Yahweh in his firmament. Praise Yahweh in his universe. Praise Yahweh in your home. Praise Yahweh in his holy of holies before his holy presence. Praise Yahweh because Jesus Christ has died for us, risen for us, stood for us, and mediating for us before God the Father. So, we now come to the end of our sermons. John Piper, I'm sure many of you heard, the theologian and the preacher once said, worship is what we were created for. This is the final end of all existence, the worship of God. And in today's text, our psalmist has indeed shown us how worship is the purpose of our life. He commanded everyone to worship Yahweh with everything, for every reason, and everywhere, even in his holy of holies. And the psalmist has declared to us that we can do this because Jesus Christ, the great mediator, the ultimate mediator, has died for us. So let me close this sermon, my dear friends, with this exhortation to you. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbal. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us all pray together.